The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Prut says, hello, Jeff. What a great day to be white. Yeah, there are good news. There are also neutral news, stuff that I'm wondering about. We'll see what's happening. But yeah, in general, it is days of victory and an awakening for white people. So it is to be celebrated. A specimen of the crazy woman type.
Don't leave!
I'm in the middle of an order! I have food in my car! I have food in my car!
Oh, so she is one of these DoorDash drivers. I have food in my car.
Kayla, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. All right, Kayla, you're going to be detained. You're going to be detained.
Stop!
Why are you running away?
He wouldn't There was a green light!
There's
an
accident. Why are you yelling? Why are you freaking out?
All these cops they're pinning me to a corner.
Ma'am, we're trying to gather information so we can get you out of here.
No. You're not getting in the vehicle.
I need to see it. I'm not.
You're not getting in the
vehicle.
You're getting detained.
No, please. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please.
Stop.
Please get here, please. The cops are trying to arrest me.
Kayla, we're not here to arrest you.
The face of this guy. What the fuck? In the city, people, they put themselves in more trouble than they need to. John Drake says, pro-Israel bill was pulled from the House. More good news. Oh, is that the Israel bill where they were trying to make it a crime to basically criticize Israel? That was ridiculous. I was like, how can this even be attempted? Of course, that would be in violation of the First Amendment. And it was about if you call for a boycott or if you make an argument against Israel as part of a call for a boycott, bro, this is all speech. This is all political discussion allowed under the First Amendment. I couldn't believe that this was even tried. But if you're telling me that he says yes, okay, great. So that means this bill is gone. Well, good news. Breakfast this morning on my table. It had been a while. I hadn't taken the time to roast good potatoes with ketchup and Tabasco. So normally I have a fraction of this breakfast, but this morning I wanted the whole breakfast with the potatoes. Of course, it's easy to heat up beans, but it's longer to make the potatoes because they have to cook about 45 minutes. But I took the time this morning, a little seared roasted salami slice that comes from the leftovers of my pizza experiments of the weekend, over easy eggs with very runny yellow, a big glass of milk, some slabs of butter on toast, baked beans, Tabasco, Heinz ketchup, everything that you need. The beans, they were, I don't know the brand. I think they were Heinz beans. They were British-style Heinz beans. It's not my usual go-to, but I wanted to try this. I was like, British-style, what does that mean? I had never heard of British-style beans. I don't know what's the special feature. What makes them British-style? There's just less brown sugar. It's just clearer beans. That's what it looks like to me. We had a NAACP press release. Very bizarre. They said that they are in contact with the family of the black boy that was called the N-word by Shiloh Hendricks. They say, so they had organized a GoFundMe, and the GoFundMe had reached something like $300,000. But now they say that campaign is now closed. And they seem to be implying that the family asked them to close it. But did they close it while taking the funds that were already in? Or did they close it with reimbursement of the funds? That is not clear in that press release to me. So did they close it with the goal of cashing out? Will they cash out to the black boy family? How can you be a family of a black boy, see $300K potentially that you could just pocket and say, I want this closed. I have not given my permission. I don't know how that works. Personally, you know, I take money much for much less than this. You guys know, if Jeff Epstein comes with $25K to me, I'm like, Jeff, I'm your friend. Give me that $25K. But yeah, this family apparently said that they were not represented by the NAACP. But now, and they say the family have conveyed that at this time, all updates related to this incident will come from the Rochester branch of the NAACP. So the NAACP is the whatever, National for the Advancement of Colored People. So they will be basically representing the family. So now it's an association that has taken over the rights of public representation alongside the City of Rochester Police Department and the City of Rochester Attorney's Office. So they seem to be suggesting that actual criminal prosecution is in the works for Shiloh Hendricks. Look. What they usually do is they say, oh, yes, saying the N-word is free speech, but saying the N-word to an handicapped child, that is harassment and abuse. That is usually what the leftists do in their states, which is why my counseling to Shiloh has always been leave the state, because another state will not honor these violations of the First Amendment. If you find yourself in a Republican state, they will not deport you back to Minnesota. But if you stay in Minnesota, you expose yourself to whatever the City of Rochester Police and the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People will decide for your case. So that's why leaving the state is important. I still don't know for sure whether she has left the state, but it seems that she is in some kind of system organized by her counselors that protects her from the state. We'll read about it later. They have published some details about it. They seem to have a certain degree of security measures around her, but the important is leave the state. If you don't leave the state, no matter where you hide, one day they're going to find you and they're going to prosecute you for abuse or harassment, and those are so loose, such loose terms that they can easily take something that's truly protected by the First Amendment, and they can make you pay for it. Minnesota NAACP closes fundraiser for black child at the center of viral playground racial incident. Again, we don't know from this post-millennial article, did they take the money? Will they give the money to the family, or do they keep it for the NAACP? Very weird, very weird what's happening with this fundraising. I'd like to have clearer statements. Meanwhile, the Shiloh Hendricks Give Send Go has attained $678,000. It's still rolling very good. It seems to be headed toward a million. I will add some of my own money if it doesn't reach a million, I was thinking, I already gave in the first, at the very beginning of this campaign, I will add some money if I can help bring it to a million. Cat Lady Genocide says, could it be because it's a minor? Well, exactly. They will pull all sorts of circumstances that, including the fact that it's a minor, that seeks to take it out of a free speech case and put it in some other box. But the fact is, all of these leftist ways of reinterpreting speech are all anti-constitutional. We know they've been, but they can still ruin your life with it. That's the problem. They can get you in jail. The time for you to get an appeal in the Supreme Court can take years. There can be technical issues that you forget about in the trial, which bars you from appeal, even if you have a legitimate argument. So it's very dangerous to be staying in Minnesota. Now, there are some good news coming from BIPOC doing racism. The blacks have stooped so low that they are now trying to get the state to confiscate her kids. Our team will not let that happen. Of course, I had warned Shiloh, they're going to call the Child Protective Service for sure. Because they're going to argue that you are abusing a black boy in front of your child, and therefore you are abusing your child, and therefore your child should be taken from you. The good news is that BIPOC doing racism, the team around Shiloh, has contacted the CPS. Our team has been in direct contact with law enforcement and can confirm the state currently has no interest in going after her kids. They have dismissed all complaints as meritless. We have also taken steps to verify the family's safety to law enforcement without compromising vital security and safety protocols. Those efforts have been successful. So what's currently happening here, what's described here? We have also taken steps to verify the family's safety. So Shiloh is in a hidden location. Protected, so because there's currently journalists knocking at our door, and there's a protest organized in the state, and there are people suggesting, hey, you should go harass her at her house. So she is currently in a hidden location, and the way to decode what's being said here, we have also taken steps to verify the family's safety. So they are filming Shiloh and showing that she is happy and she is willfully there in the hidden location, and that she is happy with the children and that the children are healthy and that all of their needs are being cared for. So that is currently what I decode from what's being said by BIPOC doing racism. <It's> that. To avoid the accusation that they have kidnapped Shiloh, they are providing regular updates to the state of Minnesota showing, look, she's doing good and she wants to be hidden because there are legitimate threats to her family. Now, as far as when the CPS tells you we dismissed all complaints as meritless, never trust them. So this is where I kind of wash my hands about what these people are attempting to do. The top security measure is always to flee the state. You cannot trust CPS. They can lie. The judges will honor their lies. The judges will hide their lies. They can tell you, oh no, we don't want to take her. Oh, we want to take her. They can make up pretext later to crack down on the family. So my recommendation to anyone who is in this situation is leave the state. Never believe when they tell you, you're okay. They told me once I was okay. They told me once I was okay in Quebec. And then I drive back in, and what do I have? 6 police cars crack down on my mom's house. So never believe. They can say whatever they want because they have the right to lie, to put you in a position where you're easier to arrest and to put you in a position where it's easier to take your kids. So if you decide to stay in Minnesota, if Shiloh decides to do that, I cannot guarantee our safety, but it seems that up to now, whatever system they have built seems to have kept her safe, and it seems that the state has been at least displaying a lack of intent to go after her. Now, never believe a police, never believe a social worker of the CPS. They are lying. They will never tell you on the phone, I'm about to come take your kids. Okay? Never. So they are habitual liars, and they have to lie to keep you in place, which is why the safest way to handle this would be to be out of state and to have only the male of the family drives back into Minnesota. Now notice, the male comes with no children, so he cannot have his children taken. The male comes back into Minnesota to gather the things of the house and bring them back to somewhere else. And the male was not involved in the park incident, so he cannot be prosecuted. This is what saved me when I fled to Alberta. So you have to understand that you are under heavy types of pursuit here. You are a national case, and they will pull all of the lies they can against you. So that is my overall analysis of the situation. These people are kind of new at what they do. I have successfully run away from the state, and it's not as easy as they seem to think. Oh, well, we contacted them, and it seems successful. Now, what reassures me about what they're saying here is we have verified the family's safety to law enforcement without compromising vital security and safety protocols. So what this tells me is they are giving away videos proving that the family is safe, but they are not revealing the place where these videos are filmed, and perhaps they have some method to make sure that the videos do not contain any sort of information that could be geolocalized. Whatever it is, they say vital security and safety protocols. But at the end, if you believe the state, none of your security protocols are worth anything. None of them. None of them. You've done all of this for nothing. If you just believe the state. By the way, courts have in the past, there is a jurisprudence. If the district attorney comes out publicly and says, we will not prosecute this lady, that is something that has value in court, and it's been used that has jurisprudence. So when a district attorney comes out publicly, it's kind of a contract with the public, and it's a contract with the defendant. But some random secretary at the police officer office, or some random social worker or secretary at the CPS office, if they tell you, oh no, we don't want to, we have dismissed all the complaints as illegitimate, watch them fabricate a complaint at the exact moment where they want it, and in a way that they can catch you at your house. So in the end, my final counseling is, do not let yourself be captured by the state. Sneed for Life says, we must secure the existence of Shiloh Hendricks and a future for her children. BIPOC Doing Racism was also saying, journalists of the New York Post have been visiting the household of Shiloh's family members. We are urging them not to publish any sensitive location, geographic information, or photos that may jeopardize the safety of Shiloh and her loved ones. There is no legitimate journalistic purpose to dox the locations of these people. Such tactics are for one purpose, and that is to assist malicious actors in causing harm. All journalists are direct to contact BIPOC Racism, Tom Hennessy, and Avster Bourne for anything related to the Shiloh Gives and Go campaign. See, this is where, Shiloh, you're done with Minnesota. There's no shaking that off. You're always going to have that house with that localizable address that's been doxed, and forever they will call the CPS on you every month until the CPS says, oh, you know what? Let's go check on her. And well, now they find something and now they build into a case. So there is no such thing as returning to your home, Shiloh. This is what I would tell you. Accept it. You're lucky. You have more than $500,000. You can literally buy any decent house anywhere in the U.S. Okay? So, and buy one where there are enough forest on the left, the right, you know, ideally. Buy a relatively isolated, doesn't have to be fully isolated, but relatively isolated in the sense that there's not too much people around. Don't gather too much to the city, and you're going to have people harassing you forever. You already have the New York Post after you. What they're going to do is they're going to be publishing a news article that will evidently call people to harass you. And it's going to be very subtle, but it will be there. And there will be all of the information about your house. They will intentionally direct people toward places where they can find your address, and people are going to know. So you're done in Minnesota, but you are so much safer in a Republican state, anywhere in the Bible Belt. Just move a little west, move a little south, and you're at the right place. Yeah, that's it for the Shiloh Hendricks update. The Barstool guy is cracking down because a bunch of kids were having fun in his bar, and they had a little sign where you can write whatever you want on that side. Oh wait, Guy Slapkin says, Jeff, did you have contacts with these secret races that are helping her? Did you express those concerns? Yes, I did. So I cannot do any better than just say what I know. In the end, whether she decides to act in line with what I said or not, I will not know. And in fact, I expressly demand not to know, because there's an element of secrecy about where she is right now. Maybe it's out of state. I'm very happy for her if that's the case. Maybe it's in state, in which case you're going to get caught. That is, yes, so I am in contact with these people. They are a very good team, but ultimately I don't know what she decides, and I don't want to know. Because the whole procedure of secrecy precisely requires that I give my counseling as input, but I don't get the information back about whether it worked or not. So Barstool, the story of a bunch of young adults who were partying, and they held a sign on which you could write anything. And it's one of these bars with young people, you know. And they had a sign, and they wrote on it with the letters, fuck the Jews. And this fucking Jewish moral aunt of the Barstool Sports, which happens to be the owner of the Barstool bars or whatever, decided to be such a dick to these people and decided to basically extort them by saying, either I'm gonna cancel you and totally destroy you forever, or you're accepting my invitation to Auschwitz.
All right, emergency press conference time. So I'm getting ready to go to the Met Gala. And all of a sudden, my phone, the last hour or two, my phone's fucking blowing up. Our bar in Philadelphia, Barstool Sampson Street, usually a great fucking bar. You know, bottle service, people buy drinks. You get a sign. There was a sign yesterday that said, fuck the Jews. I've been shaking. I've been so fucking mad. the last 2 hours. Like, I instantly got on. This is why the emergency press conference is late, because I was so over the top. It's like, I'm going to fucking make it my life fucking mission to ruin these people. Like, I'm coming to your throat. I'm never ending. And I just sat, and for the last 2 hours, I have been on the trail. Trust me, I've been on the trail. You think I'm going to put up with this shit at my bar? So I've been hunting down waitresses, the table who did it, and everything you can fucking name, because I want fucking consequences for fucking actions. So I'm not just sitting back like, oh, what are you gonna know? Trust me, I have been on it.
This is free speech, Dave. Free speech happening in your bar.
I believe the two waitresses responsible for the table already fired. I talked to one of them, one of the dumbest fucking humans I've ever talked to in my life. She's at a fucking dance recital. She's like, can I call you back?
Yeah, but you've been hiring these dummies. You've been hiring, and this is where I'm so disgusted by this culture. So he has a barstool sports bar. He's selling beer. There's young people coming. They come to meet, but he wants to create the delusion that there are females available and beautiful there. So what do they do? They pay women to be at these parties. And that's why you end up with a dumb woman, as you say. So Kelly Thompson apparently is, I mean, that's what Stop Antisemitism claims, whatever, you know, and Fox News. She has been terminated from her dance job by the studio owner. So basically, you have a bunch of Jews who own these women. You can reserve her for a night at your bar stool. So Dave Portnoy is in the business of deceptive white sexual signals still. And it's like, can they help it? Can they stop doing it? You have porn headed by the Jews. You have bars now headed by a Jew, where you have this false impression of white females being available. It's all pimping and prostitution and deception, and it's all aimed at the male, because ultimately, if the five females that are there dancing close to the speakers are giving the impression that, oh, there are celibate females there tonight, they go in and they spend their money looking, you know, buying beer and buying the products of Dave Portnoy. It's so disgusting as a system, but anyways. So it seems that she has lost her job at the dancing studio now. As Andrew Tarba was pointing out, spin up the Give, Send, Go link. If we can get our friends who have helped Shiloh Hendricks to look into this woman, I think it could also be another woman that we elevate as you know, a product of cancel culture. Now, I don't know if she wants. I don't know if that would work, and I'm kind of tired for these to be women, to be honest. I understand that a sexy woman will always attract more eyes, more attention, and more easily donations. But it's like, let's not convert this this movement into a basically social welfare for sexy white females, okay? I would hate this. I would hate this, because that's not the idea. The idea in the end is we should have males also standing up to cancel culture. Because these women, they're just going to take the cash and run away. That's what a woman does. But at least a man, you know, he can be involved politically. He can have a dream of what he wants to do with life that will change the world. But these women, they're just going to start the give, send, go and run with the money. Frog Eyes says, the day I came into your club and ordered bottle service was the worst Shoah since October 7th for me. It was Tuesday. So that is a fictitious comment that would have been received by Dave Portnoy. But yeah, it's so sad, because I was looking at the young people dancing. And yeah, there's a bunch of mid guys and some relatively good-looking guys, then a bunch of mid-girls dancing in the center, but mostly guys. And then there's a bunch of sexy females around the speaker. And those are the females that are paid to be there. But they're, it's not clear. It's not like they are dancing around the speaker, but not in a formal way where you wouldn't know that they are employees. It looks like Dave Portnoy is engaged in deceptive attention grabbing of males by recruited females to bring them into the bar. And then when you pack 100, 200 people in the bar, it makes it look like it's the place to be. Blimpy supervisor says, like a secret shopper, but dancers. Ah, secret shopper. I had not heard of this concept. But that sounds like what it is. Yes, indeed. If you would like to support the show, use the streamlabs.com JFGtonight/tip link in the description below. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. A very good post by Devon Erickson. I have a plan for good thing. Oh, well, we have a massive super chat coming in. Doc Von Galten sends $50. Thank you so much. Great stream. Thanks, JF. Sincerely, patently falsetto on X. Well, thank you very much. I'll be checking out patently falsetto. I don't know if I'm following you already on X. Let's see. Patently. Yes, I'm already following you on X. Good to receive your support. Thank you very much. And in fact, Rumble takes a long time in their cycle to pay me. So I started Rumble about 3 months ago. And I've just received my first month of Super Chat. So Rumble takes a lot of time, but I'm happy. I don't mind the delay. But I was like, will they ever send me the money? Because sometimes what they could do is they don't send you the money for months and months, and then they decide to ban your channel, and then they keep the money for themselves. But I'm happy. I got my first month of pay from the Rumble Super Chat. Excellent post by Devon Erickson. I have a plan for good thing. Great, let's hear it. Well, first of all, everybody has to just... Okay, pump the brake there, smart guy. How do you plan to get people to just... Well, they should just... Perhaps, but how are you going to get them to just... They should. They will not. They will not just. Never in the history of humanity have they just. They did not just in antiquity. They did not just in the Bronze Age or in the Iron Age. The Egyptians did not just. The Hittites did not just. Romans did not just. Nor did the Chinese, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, the Vandals, and the Huns were united solely in that they did not just. Europe did not just in the Dark Ages. The Mongols did not just. Nor did the Bulgars or the Cossacks or the Turks. The Muslims have never just. The Plantagenets did not just, or the Tudors. Nor did the Royal House of Windsor. The Spanish did not just in the New World, or the Dutch or the English, and the natives did not just either. Thomas Paine did not just, and no one just on Pukentasset Hill, or did they just at, or, nor did they just at Miriam's Corner. He goes on to list everyone who just hasn't just. Why? Because no one will just, perhaps ever again. Why? Because it is suicidal to just unless everyone just, and they will not. Don't you get it? Well, I can see what you want, because you are a... No, you can't see what I want. We are not discussing what I want. I want Helen of Troy to return from antiquity in all of her radiant and legendary beauty and give me a foot massage. I want Jesus, Moses, Mohammed, Siddhartha, blah, blah, blah. And it makes me think of simply the reality of implementable moral projects. There is no such thing as a moral case divorced from the pragmatic reality of how you would accomplish this. of whether it is doable and of how you would come from any specific world and go into that direction. So if you're there and like Sam Harris saying, we need to maximize the well-being of conscious creatures. New Guy Prime was saying, even before I brought it up, he says, leave Sam Harris alone. No, I'm not. I'm never leaving Sam Harris alone. Even after he dies, I will just continue criticizing his stuff and laughing about it. But that's what you get to pay when you don't interact with Papa JF. If you interact with Papa JF, you're gonna get a very honorable mortuary where I write about your death and I say, you know what, he was a good guy. If you don't, Papa JF just dumps on your tomb forever, as long as he lives. So yes, if you're like Sam Harris and you say, we need to maximize the well-being of conscious creatures, you need to tell me how we get there with the current retards. You need to explain to me, how do I get the current retarded population, which has always been, you know, it's not like it's a special historical event. It's just you have this mass of retards everywhere. And some of them are rapists. Some of them are murderers. They have all these special characteristics to them. How do you get these people to engage in your project? And if they don't engage, what do you do with their resistance and their parasitism of your project and their attempt at draining the energy from it? And the fact that just their existence threatens how your project can even happen. If you don't have an answer for this, you don't even have a project. You have a fragment of imagination. You have a unicorn world. We could call it a purple pony world. You have created a purple pony world. Now what? That is what I would say to any ethicist who rejects pragmatism. You have to include the path of realization, or you don't have a project. John Drake says, the welfare state has increased the retards. Indeed, I can feel it. I can feel it even on the everyday on Twitter. I write stuff, and there are people who are just beside the track. They completely misunderstand. Like, I wrote, hey, good news, you know. Shiloh Hendricks is not a single mom. She has a husband. She has a man, at least. She calls him a man. And they're in a stable relationship. Great. And there are people writing, so what? So what? What's your problem with her being... Hey, I'm trying to be positive here. They think I'm criticizing her for not being a single mom. Unbelievable. They thought, some of these retards on Twitter, they thought I was exposing her for not truly being a single mom on the pretense that she has gathered money while saying she was a single mom, which is like two layers of falsehood. She never said she was a single mom, and therefore I could not be deceived that she was a single mom. And I'm reporting that she's not a single mom in a positive way. So I'm enjoying this fact. I'm happy about it. Why? Because I like families. They can't even get there. They can't even understand. Ariel sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, how about the Weinsteins? Have they stopped not intentionally not reading your book? No, I believe that the non-intention is continued, and I do not believe at this point that they have stumbled accidentally upon my book, which is the only way in which they would ever read is if, like, let's say there's a banana on the floor, the revolutionary phenotype is there at around 2 o'clock. Brett Weinstein comes in running, slips on the banana, somehow the revolutionary phenotype comes in front of his eyes and he goes through the pages as he falls. I think that would be the only way in which Brett Weinstein will ever read the revolutionary phenotype. Trump admin says it will pay illegal immigrants $1,000 to self-deport. The DHS announced that illegal immigrants who use the CBP Home app to initiate their own deportation procedures will receive a $1,000 bonus stipend. I'm not super enthusiastic about giving money to migrants, but the reality is that we spend so much money on the process of finding them and transporting them that, yeah, at a certain point, it becomes financially viable to give them a small sum if they do it themselves. So I'm okay, but it has to remain these very small sums. Anonymous has sent a chat. Much love. This will help you afford a Tim Hortons. Last thing we want you is getting angry and stabbing another person to death because she wants to leave the house and you've no money. Keep begging fucking fucker living in poverty who calls others retards. Oh, so... Wait, this guy... Okay, so this guy thinks I killed Mama JF and he's giving me money so I can get to Tim Hortons so that somehow me buying a coffee... this is what I'm telling you. Like, people are fucking retarded. This guy is fucking retarded. He thinks that by giving me money, it will avoid the killing of a future wife. Because now I have money to drink Tim Hortons coffee. It calms me down. And somehow this tames down my murderous instinct. Like, people are fucking delusional. It's amazing. Amazing. One day these people, the guy who sent this $1 super chat. One day, this guy, this kind of people and their genes will be populating the entire police force, the district attorneys. One day, it's going to be these people putting people in jail. And that day, my friend, people like me are going to be the first with the handcuffs behind your back, sir. Can I get the handcuffs in front, please? No, you can't. It's the procedure, sir. You are a suspected individual, as they say in Idiocracy. Unbelievable. Well, thank you for the $1, you know, at least if you're going to abuse me and call me names and, you know, at least you contribute financially to my life. I am not poor, indeed. I do not really need to work or to do this show. But I'm very happy to do it. Guy Slapkin says being intellectually charitable to randos is more taxing than ever. JF has a tough job. Yeah, it's kind of the job I chose, you know, to be engaging with the world and whatever it is. But it's very disappointing what's out there. Very disappointing how stupid people are. Need for Life says it is Andy Warsky. Yeah, maybe it was Andy. Andy on an anonymous Streamlabs account. Insider Wire reports President Donald Trump just cut off all federal research grants to Harvard. See, this is the kind of thing I would like to celebrate. This is definitely great that we're defunding the academia. The academia has totally lost the track of truth-seeking. By the way, as long as they don't talk about the revolutionary phenotype, I am for a complete just zero money being sent to the academia. If you can't even update yourself about the state of knowledge of your field because it's been written by a guy that's tarnished in the media, then you don't deserve government funding. We should close biology until people have dealt mentally with the revolutionary phenotype. Because everything we do until people read this book is a loss of time, and it's unproductive directions of research. The whole field of origins of life research is fucking disgusting and like a true loss of time in light of the theory of phenotypic revolutions. So I'm happy that Harvard is losing its money, but they're losing it for not being Jewish enough. And that is very frustrating, like, because Harvard is the center of Jewry. It is how Jews, elevate themselves. It is how they give themselves boost in interview scores to get their Jewish students accepted. It is where they start their massive overrepresentation in the interview process, in the professor hiring process, in the grant process. It's all happening at Harvard. But somehow, because Harvard has decided to honor the freedom of speech of their students, which is an American value, which shouldn't even be under question, because Harvard has decided that, yeah, you can be against the actions of Israel, somehow that's not Jewish enough for Donald Trump, and he decides to cut the research funding for this reason. Now, I don't know. Should we celebrate this? The effect is great, but the reason is very bad. And when the reason is very bad, you're going to be led down the line of other false interventions of that kind that are really just creating a splash mediatically, but that are not resolving the problem at the heart. John Drake says, yep, 2% of the population and nearly 30% of Ivy League schools. I'm sure the faculty is even higher than this. Absolutely. Jewish overrepresentation starts there, and it trickles down the rest of society. So it's like you're now removing their funding because they're not Jewish enough. That's ridiculous. And yes, DK Shadow says, yes, it's effectively a Trojan horse. In the end, there is something deceptive about all this. They are trying to make it look like they've done something that they truly haven't done. I don't know what's the end goal, but the end goal cannot be good news. There is something dirty happening here. Cat Lady Genocide says, thanks to DEI, I'm not even sure they will even be accepting the basics of evolution at Harvard these days, let alone the revolutionary phenotype. Yeah, and so this is so sad because instead of engaging with the theory of phenotypic revolution, the entire world seems to have decided to not have an intellectual elite anymore capable of even talking about biology. I remember in the early days of the internet, we had discussion about atheism, biology, creationism. There were people intelligent enough to talk and advance our ideas publicly. But now what? Now what's happening currently in a biology department? What's happening? It's a bunch of people in offices managing rules, managing courses that they give to a bunch of brown people who have been put there by some system. This is not the university. This is not, meritocracy of knowledge in action. It is the complete destruction of an intellectual elite. And it's like since a white guy has found the most important theory, we're just going to stop talking about this subject at all. Really? That's how you do DEI. That's DEI happening in our public space right now. Doug Von Galten says, I can tell you what happens in the chemistry department. Well, tell me, Doc. What's happening in the chemistry department? I'm pretty sure it's administration, I'm pretty sure it's not much experimenting. I'm pretty sure it's bureaucratic rules, committees, planning exercises, little round tables of women. I'm pretty sure it's brown and woman coded. What's happening in the chemistry department? Skype is gone. Gusparovsky says, Jeff, did you cover Portnoy's answer to what have happened at his restaurant? Yes. In the end, I didn't have time to say much of a conclusion yet, but I would say in conclusion to this, you're becoming the moral aunt of the youth, forcing them to go at Auschwitz to kneel to your fucking religion, because that's what it is. Auschwitz is the center of the modern form of the Judaistic religion, because the Jews are a religious people who have decided to be their own god, and their own existence is their myth, and the threat to their own existence is their whole story. And it's so disgusting, because you could have done better. Jews are intelligent. They are capable of driving the next generation toward the objective search for knowledge. But instead, you decide to subvert them into Jewish adoration of your history and your self-flagellation and your self-victimization. And as such, you're not any better than the DEI people and the whole Olympics of victimization that we have in society. In fact, you're the founder of it. So Doug Van Galten says, it's the non-hard sciences that are the problem. All the grad students do is chemistry, that's for sure. They throw in some woke bullshit, but it's not too bad yet. Yeah, I mean, I was at this time where still some hard science was going on in the universities. But we were seeing the bureaucrats just around us, you know, make it harder and harder. And so I was like, it's closing in. I better escape. Because you can be in a good lab. You end up being mostly working well on your projects and all. But then you see some grants are coming in, and they're grants for only brown people. And then you see, oh, to work in that lab, you have to follow this bureaucratic course, which will teach you not to rape. And it's like we were seeing the bureaucracy closing in. And oh yeah, you want to do this experiment on your male monkey, because male monkey are better at playing computer games. But we want your experience to be gender neutral. So you're going to have to run it on female monkeys, half female monkeys. So you find yourself, half of your days is in service to the bureaucracy that wants it to be gender neutral. But the fucking female cannot play more than 100 trials of soccer, when the male can give you 600, 800, 1,000. That's just what it is. So eventually, even the hard sciences, they get incapable of continuing. And the example of the hard sciences being incapable of continuing is the continued refusal of the revolutionary phenotype. Like, you're gonna have to discuss it, because it's an important theory. So you can't flee, you can't hide. Just admit it, a white man has discovered something once again. Once again. Skype is gone. Microsoft axed the iconic app today, moving all accounts to Teams. What a sad story, the story of Skype. Because the story of Skype, to me, is the illustration of the incapacity of the Microsoft bureaucracy to be following the zeitgeist. Because Skype had everything going for it. They were coming out of the ICQ era of the internet, and they were kind of a mix at some point between Skype, Windows, Messenger. But basically, Skype had risen as the one serious app where you can get serious calls on the internet. And eventually, kind of everything moved on to phones, and Skype kind of became irrelevant because there were native apps that were coming with the phones, like Google Duo, Google Hangouts on Air, FaceTime, WhatsApp, and they were playing more in the game of the phone economy. And Microsoft was unable to just do the move. Skype was still interesting in that you could have a phone number. You could buy a Skype phone number. But the charge, the bidding of it was bizarre, mishandled, and the interface of it was not super good. Basically, everyone moved to more productive software like the ones that come with the phones. And it's an example of a failure of Microsoft to be continually improving their software with the new zeitgeist. They can't, because they're a bunch of Microsoft, they control desktop computers still. And that control puts them in a kind of monopoly of sorts. But other than this, they have difficulty. They have difficulty maintaining Edge. They have difficulty, of course, maintaining Internet Explorer. And now they have lost the fight for calls with Skype. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith has spoken out today. She had announced that Monday now she would do an announcement about Alberta separation. By the way, the signatures for the Alberta separation have reached the threshold. So it seems like we should have a referendum question on the separation of Alberta, but it seems like it's going to be integrated with a larger set of questions that will blur the thing. You know, it's not going to be a debate of society where we can have a yes and a no camp and the arguments. It's going to be just a list of questions asked to Albertans. And I think the way they've organized it is it's going to be inevitably flooded into so many other questions that people will not develop much interest. And so I would love if we can have a real public debate, and if we can have a Quebec-style campaign for it with an actual argument being made on both sides. But it's not headed for this, it seems. Danielle Smith's address today was very disappointing because in the end, she cucks to the federal government. She says, oh yeah, we have to develop sovereignty and strength, and we have to negotiate a deal with the federal government so that they stop intervening on, you know, interfering with our development and gas and pipelines. But it's like, okay, but you're putting yourself in the position of the beggar. That's not what a Trump would do. Trump would say, we're leaving Canada. We're leaving Canada. We're the 51st state. Starts tomorrow. And then Trump would negotiate, maybe. But you cannot start with, I want to stay in Canada, but I want to negotiate a new deal. Because then, why would Carney concede anything to you? Carney wasn't elected by Albertans because every county has voted conservative. So Carney has no reason to kneel to Albertan interest. He's going to keep exploiting you in various ways. He's going to maybe entertain some deal that makes you think you have freed some degree of independence for Alberta, but you didn't. So it's like you have to learn leverage, and clearly Danielle Smith is not in leverage thinking here. She is in we need to keep our own Albertan way to live and protect it from. You're not going to protect anything without separation. So Great White Snort says it's happening. Well, I would love it if it's happening, but I would love it. Yeah, I would be very happy, but I don't think Danielle Smith is the right voice carrier for true Alberta separation. It's very disappointing. She could have been, because she's great on some other socially conservative subjects. But if you let the federal government continue to usurp the wealth of Alberta and give it to other provinces, it will keep going on forever and you'll have less and less of your sovereignty. Greatest Whitest North says, oil and gas alone makes $400 billion a year in Alberta. We have more leverage than she lets on. Exactly. Literally, you could just make the federal government kneel to demands if you were just to threaten some degree of separation. But she doesn't do it. And that's what I find as a sovereignist in Quebec. People are fucking cucked. Everyone is purchased by the system. Everyone is integrated into these dependency structures. And it's so painful. Because I built my life to be in no dependency structure. You have no idea how much I sacrificed and worked just to make sure that no one held anything above my head. Down to who I buy beef from. I mean, it's that extreme. But the rest of the system, the rest of the normie plex, is intertwined like this. It's like a web of lies and dependency. One of our friends, Lipton Matthews, has been starting a GoFundMe, Busting African Delusions. You might remember this guy. He's the black guy. He's like a black autistic teenager who's racially based. And you know, we had an interview with him and there were noise in his microphone because his whole family of black people are just noisy. And this guy keeps appearing on based racial shows. Now he says, I am Lipton Matthews. Join me on a journey to uncover the truth behind African poverty. Our book will challenge the common misconception that colonialism is the root cause of poverty in Africa and instead highlight the internal factors that have contributed to it. We will embark on primary research in various African countries to gather first-hand accounts and data to support our arguments. Your contribution will help us cover the cost of travel, research, and promotion. So he wants to write a book about why Africa is poor, Busting African Delusions, a $2,000 goal, £2,000 or whatever. He's already have $150 raised. If you want to give, you can give. Yeah, it looks like, it makes me think of Empire of Dust. But bro, you're going to get into Africa with $2,000. Making a movie about why Africa is poor. I mean, if there's a guy to do it, it's this guy. Because this guy is black, black, black. Like sub-Saharan African black. He's gonna blend into the African steeps like no one else. I mean, just for the comedic value, if you want to give $5, $25, $50 to this guy, you might get your money back in terms of comedic value of whatever happens. Because whatever he films, I would be interested at. Oh, new guy Prime says it's a poor movie about poverty. Oh, okay, so there's a level of embeddedness here, inception of poverty. But yeah, I mean, maybe he has his own funds too that he will combine with this. There's so much trouble about Katy Perry and her space travel. I can't find reliable sources, but there are YouTube videos, and I will let in the description, I will include this YouTube video. They claim that Katy Perry is suing Jeff Bezos for $50 million. She's saying that she was put at a high risk in this Blue Origin a stunt that was meant to be centered around woman, but it turned out to be a risky stunt. And Jeff Bezos is said to be counter-suing, or he initiated the suit against Katy Perry for opening the door of the hatch in advance so that people could see it was a fraud. You know, how the door opened and they said, no, close it. We have to have Jeff Bezos. And Jeff Bezos came with a fake handle. And he faked opening an handle. Holy shit. There were so much lies in this Blue Origins thing. Why do you lie? And now they're suing each other. And of course, when you fuck with Jeff Bezos, you're going to have some smearing articles. So smearing articles have been appearing about Katy Perry, reminding us of something that I didn't even know. Apparently, there was a law. There was once a law that was about to be named the Katy Perry Law, named after the abuse of elderly people, because Katy Perry once abused an elderly person by by having them sign away and sell one of his properties while he was on some major medication painkiller post-surgery. You have to imagine Katy Perry. She wanted, her and her husband, they wanted a house. They really wanted that property. So she goes to that elderly person who owns the property. She waits for him to be on painkiller. He's just out of surgery. She's like, sign this. And she got the house. And the people were so offended, they were thinking about making the Katy Perry law. Because Katy Perry is abusing elderly people. Anyways, it's funny that this article came out while she's in a spat, basically, with with Jeff Bezos. So that's what happens when you fuck with Jeff Bezos. Need for Life says, Jeff Bezos as a trans wife. I don't know at this time. I know people are saying that. I know people are saying so many people are trans, including Michelle Obama, Big Mike. And I don't know. Is that the effect of facial surgery? Maybe too much testosterone in a woman? I don't know. Or maybe they're just trans. Yeah, I don't know. Pro-Palestine protesters are clashing with the police outside of the Met Gala. The Met Gala in Manhattan, New York.
Fuck Muhammad!
You pushed me
out of my face.
You pushed me, Cracker. You're the one getting
you pushed me, Cracker.
You pushed me, Cracker. You pushed me, Cracker.
Back
the fuck off. Back the fuck up. Back the fuck up, Cracker. Back the fuck up, Cracker.
Back up.
Back up, Cracker.
Oh man, our cities are becoming slums of trouble. Trouble that is not even ours. Trouble that is imported. Here you have a guy saying, fuck Mohammed. There are other people who are hating on him. How does that concern us? John Drake says, escape the cities while you can. Absolutely. Tennessee Antifa influencer, an actor, is arrested on child sex crime charges. He was linked to 5 separate Snapchat profiles, which were used to talk to minors. Unbelievable. These guys have these shirts, I am Antifa, blah, blah, blah. Always in these leftist causes. And then we discover, well, this guy had 5 different accounts through which he was approaching minors for pedophilic pictures or sex. Unbelievable. Why this correlation? Why are all the leftist pedos? How does that work? as a hard scientist. I want the truth. I want to have a model. How does that work? Israel has unleashed massive strikes on Yemen with 30 jets after the Ben Gurion airport attack. So there were missiles from Yemen that appears to have attained the Ben Gurion airport, and that's a counterstrike onto Yemen. And that's pretty much it for tonight. Zero Hedge was in the White House. So for... It's quite fascinating because I'm from back in the days where Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden, you know. I've been covering articles by Zero Hedge for many years. And I was a fan of Zero Hedge even back in the days where they were silenced. Banned from Twitter. But now Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden are in the White House, and they can ask Trump questions. Oops. I didn't know it would load.
First, I just want to thank you for letting us in here. I'm with Zero Hedge in the last administration.
Oh, yeah.
They hit us on social media, so we're really grateful to be in the White House. And this is not exactly sports-related, but... I've been dying to ask you this question for a long time, which is that 2.5 years ago, the Nord Stream pipeline blew up.
Yeah.
And despite what people like John Brennan and all the hawks said, you were one person who said Russia probably did not blow up its own pipeline.
Yeah, if you can believe it. They said Russia blew it up, yeah.
And so I'm wondering now that you're president, if you would consider launching a formal investigation into what happened there and who actually did blow it up.
Well, probably if I asked certain people, I'd be able to tell you without having to waste a lot of money on an investigation.
So we don't get an answer from Trump, but he should definitely ask, and why not be open about it? It would play in the interest of Trump, because if Ukraine or Poland or whatever club, England, Ukraine... I've done this together, then it looks bad for them, and it looks better even for Trump and his disengagement from this war. So I also don't think we need an investigation. We just need Trump to come out clearly about who did it, and I would believe that it doesn't need much research work. He probably knows exactly the chain of command that led to this action. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me, and I will see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.